The world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, I would have a show like Oprah. I would be the host of Everyday Christmas. Give Travi a wish list. I'd probably pull a Angelina and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had shit. Give away a few Mercedes like, here lady, have this. And last but not least, grant somebody their last wish. It's been a couple months that I've been single, so you can call me Travi Claus, minus the ho-ho. Get it? I'd probably visit with Katrina hit. And damn sure do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 80 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
We made it to 80. That's pretty exciting.
Woot. Pat on the back, pat on the back.
Yes. Gonna kind of just do a short show this week. Kind of updates, I think. Just not really a whole lot going on. Next week we have the Oscars, so there's gonna be a lot more to talk about following Oscar night.
Agreed.
Why don't we start with kind of an update with what you're doing, and then I'll talk about my stuff.
We
sort of hinted to it last week. I think there's more information that we can make public now.
Yeah.
'Cause we didn't really say anything last week.
No, that's true, and it's definitely more confirmed now.
Right.
But basically, I'm doing kind of project management for a benefit concert in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's going through CSULB. For CSULB.
Right. Which is Cal State University Long Beach.
Right.
And you're going to, as a sort of project manager, well, in a way, you're kind of co-event coordinator as well. I mean, you're sort of making sure this, you're not dealing with the talent.
Right.
He's taking care of signing all of that, but you're pretty much making sure that the actual event goes off.
Right. That everybody knows what date and time and shit is supposed to happen.
Yeah. Right. And kind of from the, you know, since the first time I've met you, you have been busy. I mean, you're working every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You're busting your ass doing this.
Yeah.
with our help.
Well, that's only because normally, I don't think it would be this way, but we are in such a tight time crunch because the concert is in March. So right. it came in on it late, and we're mm-hmm. trying to pick up what he was missing. So,
right.
Yeah, so we're all like, bah!
Yeah.
Hurry up!
Well, and it's, you know, I think it's been good. Unfortunately, it's kind of put writing on the back burner for you.
Yeah.
For the most part, because you just don't have time. I mean, you're in meetings almost every day.
Right.
And it's only going to get worse the closer the event comes.
Right. the good part is meeting people who have money to invest in shit.
Right.
So that's kind of the good part about doing this. I'm talking somebody into being a movie producer out of this group.
Well, and it's funny, too, because it's not like you've given up on that.
No.
I mean,
This is going to pay the bills.
We were sort of talking about this last night, and you sort of mentioned this, and it was a throwaway line that had nothing to do with what we were talking about. But prior to, you know, when I first met you, you'd always kind of wanted to be a writer, but you never really did anything with it.
Right.
And then after you met me and sort of got sucked into this fucking world mm-hmm. that I dragged you kicking and screaming into.
Basically.
The dream of what you've always wanted, it had always been there, but it was lying dormant.
Right.
And I sort of woke that up. And now the throwaway line that you mentioned the other night when we were talking was something to the effect of, yeah, and then I can get 3 days to write. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, right. As soon as we're done.
Right.
Yeah.
But, so you still wake up, you're still thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
you're still...
Yes, but we'll have been paid, so...
Right. No,
yeah.
No.
No.
I'm just saying you haven't given up the
writing. No. Unfortunately,
and much,
this is kind of a rush job, so...
And much like most of the things in this town, you, in order to survive out here, you're going to have to, you know, kind of wing it. And when opportunities arise, you got to pay the bills and you have to survive.
Exactly.
And so you got to do what you got to do. And
yeah, obviously, I've dreamt ever since I was a child to be a concert promoter. You know what I mean? It's like,
How was that even? That wasn't even a thing that you knew
exactly,
was a thing.
Exactly. I didn't. I barely knew it was a thing when I found out it was a thing working on it. This is a thing here that people are doing all the time.
And now you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've been helping out through social media. So I'm sort of the social media manager, which is awesome because it's just Facebook and Twitter and doing all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to brainstorm and come up with like best ways to promote it. And, you know, we're as it happens, we'll be talking about it a little bit more, but, you know, I'm going to be doing a video and we're going to specifically to try to get it to go viral. I hate the fact that anyone ever says, I'm going to do a viral video. No.
Try to get it to
the world decides whether or not it's a viral video.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so I'm going to be working with a couple of the talent that's going to be performing at the show to sort of do this video to promote, which is super fun, and I always love doing that kind of shit, so.
And really, Alex is the only one who's doing the job that she actually wants to do.
Yeah.
She's had to.
That's kind of funny. She's doing all the posters and stuff. And what's interesting with her, watching her go through this process, is she's got an art brain, and she doesn't really have a marketing brain, and so I've been really enjoying watching her learn how to meld the two.
Yeah, try to see both sides. Oh well, so cute. I just actually ended up bashing her 2 seconds ago. Not bashing. I would try to be very kind about it. She's working on a red carpet backdrop.
Right.
Same kind of. But that everybody knows that you've seen on TV. You're looking for a logo, a white background logos,
right. Mm-hmm.
In a repeating pattern, diagonally, blah blah blah. That's it.
Yeah.
She changed all the logos to the same color, basically.
Okay.
So, the R logo.
Oh, so it looks.
And IFC, although they all look exactly the same.
Gotcha.
So, I said you need to go look in the example. Pull up red carpet Hollywood.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. That kind of.
Yeah, and a lot of times with those, it's
might just be one sometimes, right?
I mean, it's like when I was working for Final Draft, mm-hmm. and Final Draft was on a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't touch the logo at all.
It had to be the same.
No changing the color. No.
Right.
It
supposedly we can do that, but I wouldn't. It just blends. It looks like gold circles.
Right.
Unless you walk up to it, so it's just it is yes. Actually, what's
What's really kind of interesting for, I think, both of us, all three of us, is we have been involved with so many events,
mm-hmm.
and but we've never actually put one on ourselves. And the amount of details and, that you take for granted. I mean, it was so funny because we had a meeting last night with the guy that you've partnered up with, and he kept talking about red carpet event. And I was like, okay, really dumb question. Do we have a red carpet? like, let's just not assume that that's going to be a thing.
No. And actually then he says, yeah, but mine's too short. I'm going to get a better red carpet. So yeah, red carpet's now on the list. Things to get.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, there's so many, you're juggling so many things, mm-hmm. and my experience having done professional level events where like people paid hundreds and hundreds mm-hmm. of dollars to go to is that it's never going to go well. Like
there's
on our
always
end,
always going to be something.
It always.
It's like a wedding. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's going to be a fight. There's going to be something is going to happen. Which I'm used to though. So I expect it.
And you can prepare for the 50th. Craziest mm-hmm. scenarios in your brain, but it'll be that 51st thing that you didn't think about.
Yes.
Where it's like, really? Come on.
Yeah. Yes. I think the people that we're partnered up with, though, are mover and shakers. So we can say, we need to make this happen right now.
Right.
And they still run with it or whatever. So, especially the night of the event. So, yeah, it's, just say, oh, I was going to joke about the clock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we went down to the timing of how this performer comes on, then the comedian comes back on, and how many minutes, and da-da-da-da. So Manny and I are talking, and he's telling me about Sharon Osbourne using a clock. She has a big red digital clock.
When they go to
Ozfest,
because she's been fucking doing Ozfest for, what, like 20 years? There's a giant clock on stage, and I've been to Ozfest plenty of times where I've actually seen the clock, and yeah, it counts down, and they're
so boom, she hits 20. They hit 20.
Right,
you've got 20 minutes, and then we're getting you off the stage.
And I've heard stories because I've seen documentaries on Ozfest where they talk about how, like, she's the mom.
She is.
But I've heard stories about the clock, which this is what made me think of it, is because I think it was like Rob Zombie was telling a story about how, like, if you go like 2 minutes over, you get fined. Like, that's $10,000 out of your check because you're throwing off
because nobody was listening when she said stop. That's, yeah.
Right.
I get it. Do you want that 2 minute of glory, or do you want to pay $10,000?
Which
do
you want? That was a discussion. Like, we need a giant clock.
Because we can't do that. That would be fun if we could charge them.
Because there's going to be, you know,
it's a very
five
tight schedule.
Or six. It's a very tight schedule.
Yes, and never mind with burlesque dancers and all that kind of shit added in. You know the timing of that is, how long does it take 40 burlesque girls to walk to the front of stage? Man, would you know the timing on that one right now?
No.
Fuck, should I know how long that takes?
You know what? Actually, what's really funny is not only have you sort of undertook, well, we kind of all have, but you specifically have undertook the throwing an event together, but it's not even just an event, it's a festival.
It's like Carnival. yeah, exactly.
I mean, you've gotten thrown into doing Ozfest.
Ozfest meets Carnival. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the timing is going to fucking way be off, and that place charges for every 15 minutes you go past. So the person that we're partnering with is going to have a bird if it goes past.
Right. That's going
to
be fun.
So I can't wait to, you know, the best part is going to see me arguing with a 6'4" rapper. get the fuck off the stage. I don't care, your song's not over. You know what I mean?
Right.
That should be interesting. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to send one of the other large black men that work with us to go do that.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that, you know, you're still dealing with, you're dealing with the event in a behind the scenes format, and we're going to be there, and we're going to be backstage and working
and timing it for next time.
But you haven't even gotten into the personalities. Nope. Musicians are babies.
I've dated enough musicians to know that wet heads they are.
But yeah, it's gonna be, you know, hopefully we won't have an Axl Rose situation where he's like, I am not going on stage.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. Yeah, I told you, my I was banned from going to my ex's.
Right, yeah.
Whenever they played out of bars. Or I couldn't sit in the front row and look at them.
Oh, because you're, yes.
Because I knew when they were playing a wrong note and they saw it on my face, and then it hurt their feelings, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, because you're a hard ass. You're a hard ass.
Yeah. So whatever. So yeah, being at the event, I didn't even want to go. As I've told you, but I gotta go just to see the timing of everything to see where you need to tack on 5 to 10 minutes to make that happen.
Right, and in reality, your job's not over until it's over.
They get the fuck out of the building.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, well, I mean, even there's going to be an after party, so our job's not over until the next morning.
Our job is done at the meet and greet. As soon as they start meeting all the performers and shit.
Is that
like
after
that.
The show? Or
that's before? After the show. Outside. That's how they're getting everybody outside.
Oh, they're
going to
do meet and greet.
A meet and greet.
Okay. Yeah, that's when our job is over.
Yeah, I'm done. I leave then, as far as I'm concerned. So.
Cool.
And then the after party. Woot!
Well, it's going to be, yeah, and we've already discussed the fact that that's going to be work anyway. I mean, it's not like we're going to go enjoy ourselves.
Yeah,
we're
make sure I don't get tipsy.
Yeah, no. We're watching each other's back. Exactly. We're going to be each other's safety support there.
Yeah.
And then if we both get out of control, it's on Allie.
Somebody has to be responsible.
Somebody has to be responsible for us.
That is true.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that because I know how you can get me into check. I don't know how to get you into check when you start going into your thing that you do.
Don't let me drink too much. That's why let me get tipsy.
Okay.
So I can keep control. If I get too tipsy, then I get angry Cheryl, whatever.
Yeah.
Bossy Cheryl.
Bossy Cheryl is pretty much... super hyper opinionated Cheryl.
There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
that's a lot of fun, but a lot of work. So.
Yeah, and but again, it's been good.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's not only has it been able to pay your bills, but it's also been able to pay my bills, and and Allie's getting a nice chunk of change that she's going to have. Which is great, and you're working from home, and she's working from home, and I'm working from home, and we're making this happen.
I know, exciting.
Okay, so let's flip the switch. So you, unfortunately, because you're so busy, your writing is kind of dead to you right now.
Right.
Me, on the other hand, not the case. I do want to say, although I feel really bad because I didn't earn my X yesterday. I did Saturday, but I didn't do it yesterday. I know, that was my fault. It was my fault. And I was sitting there this morning trying to rationalize, like, did I write anything?
Let me think. Did I make up a shopping list? Maybe write down some items for ordering? Yeah,
anything that... No, but I have... Sorry, I have to keep myself honest. But what... So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Jerry Seinfeld method of don't break the chain, get the calendar.
Yes.
So I have been trying that.
Successfully.
And
what's your page count range wise?
The idea conveyed in the article was that you could write anything. So even if it was a tweet or a sentence, you were still writing for that day. That's too low of a goal. That's too low of a goal.
The way you tweet, that's too low of a goal.
Did I tweet yesterday?
No, you can't use that.
So
you have to erase all your X's and start over, sir. Or you're just going to leave it blank and
You just leave it blank, you keep going.
That's probably a better way to say, see?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also rationalized that yesterday was Sunday and it was God's day, so I should take a day off.
He has been getting more religious, not...
My personal... What I tell myself is half a page. Half a page will get me an X.
Right.
It is impossible for me to write a half a page. Right. So it always ends up being at least a page.
At least a page.
At least a page.
And what's the max?
The max I've done... Actually, I don't know. But I want to say that there was a period... So this, I think, was going to be... Yesterday would have been, I think, my 10th. Day straight of writing every day. And I think I was hitting a really good stride of knocking out 3 to 4 pages a day without trying. I was aiming for one. I was doing 3 or 4. I think there were days where I did more, like maybe 8 or 9,
right?
Because I had just gotten into the project I'm working on right now is a heavy dialogue, and dialogue is so much white space that you can just rip through pages when you're getting it going.
You know, the dialogue's supposed to be good, though, right?
This is a vomit draft.
I'm kidding. That's a joke. It's a
vomit draft. But yes. Okay, so I think the most has been probably 6 or 7. The average was 3 to 4. The minimum I'm doing is, like, if I wake up and I don't feel like writing... And here's the point of telling the story, because this is working for me. I wake up and I do not feel like writing. I might have something to do for the event or whatever. I just don't feel like writing. And then I look up over at the calendar, because I've pinned it right next to my desk where I write, and you cannot be in my room and not see it.
Right.
And so I look over and I see the X's and it's like, fuck, I gotta write something. Just get it down. And so I'm writing every day in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking about the next scene. What this is forcing me to do is to fucking sit down and write it down. Stop thinking about
it. Just because you got it up there. Yeah.
Right. I need to get it down on paper. And so what it's forcing me to do is, you're correct in thinking that I don't think I'm churning out bad shit. It was already in my head.
Right.
I just have to do it. So it's just forcing me to do it. And earn the X.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So it's been working, and I think that if I stick to this, my script progression will be a lot faster.
Right.
Because it's not the case of, well, I'm not going to write this week and then I'm going to write 30 pages. I'm just going to consistently pump out 3 or 4 pages a day, or at least one.
Right.
And every page down is another page
which
towards
the end.
Which is
fair when you're at home also. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes, I kind of get that. I can see that as a...
Yes, so it right. helps that I have a job now where I'm working from home.
Right.
I've also been... So, writing, social media, third job I'm doing is reading a lot of scripts for our friend Steve, and it has been so fascinating to see, you know, what number one, what's getting shopped around town.
Yeah, what actually made it, like,
what got to
somewhere,
the,
right?
And the, you know, we've said this on the show before, and I've been reading so much this week that what was I going to say? I've been reading so much this week, I cannot make this any clearer. You have to, if you want to write scripts, you have to read scripts. The more scripts I'm reading,
yeah,
the more patterns I'm seeing in, like, some of the flaws that we've come across, mm-hmm. like, structurally.
Right.
Like, okay, well, these characters all sound the same. And then, you know,
right.
I
it's
think
similar
back
words,
to...
Similar words, similar, yeah.
Right, mannerism, stuff right, like that. Right. And then I think back to some of the things, some of the notes you've given me on my scripts, mm-hmm. and some of the problems that we've had writing the couple of scripts that we've been working on, of just character,
right.
trying to get the characters down. I just finished a script... which I don't have really any right to talk about it, so I'm not going to mention much, but let's just say it dealt with a group of teens. And what was interesting about that script is that there were a couple of characters who really stood out.
Yes. The same way what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But for the most part, a lot of the characters didn't stand out.
Right.
Like, I kept having to look back to wait, who is this again?
Oh, no, that's a different one that you're talking about. Okay.
No.
Not the one you like.
Yeah, I like it.
That is the one? Oh, you had that problem?
Yes, that was one of the problems I had.
I don't think I saw enough of the characters to get that. So far, because as far as I had gotten, I got liked.
Because you read like 10 pages,
yeah.
right? Yeah. When it gets into the sort of the second act of things,
right.
that they really start blending together. And they don't, there's not really...
Nobody's doing anything distinctive to say.
Yeah, there's, and it's only with one or two characters, and it's a very easy fix of how to fix that script.
Right.
You know, when you think of like teen comedies, one of the best movies to talk about this is The Breakfast Club, because it's the fucking cliche 80s teen comedy. You got your jock, you got your emo chick, you got your nerd, you got your hot girl, you got your badass.
Right.
But, and they all looked the part, but Emilio Estevez's character talked very differently than Judd Nelson's character.
Right.
And there was such a distinction, and that's what makes that movie so good, is because
right.
the characters are so...
Which makes sense. I mean, they all came from different groups, and it's not like they hung out together all the time, so they wouldn't share mannerism or sayings or
right.
weirdness or whatever. So, yeah, you would have to make them very distinct.
And
they need to be distinct.
Here's another thing, too, is that I have to go back and look at who the authors were, but one of the other problems with that is the pop culture references were straight up 80s.
Oh, in this script?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, and it's okay. Like, no.
Oh, that's cute.
No, you don't
You need
know.
To go hang out with some...
Right. Yeah, don't write high school kids and not know how high school kids talk.
Right.
They all don't just say walk around saying totes and adorbs.
Right.
That's, you know, yes. That is, yeah. That's the MTV version of what teenagers are.
I say that, so
are.
That's what, yeah. So.
Well, and we started saying it ironically, and it just became part of our vocabulary. That was a script that I actually wanted to...
But the idea is good.
Yeah, the idea is good. That was a script that I actually wanted to move forward on. And, you know, I very rarely ever say this, and I think that people who have listened to us and read the columns, very rarely do I have a positive experience where it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Now, I wasn't like jumping for joy thinking this was like the next Schindler's List or anything, but I could see it being made, and we know a couple of people that would be perfect for doing a rewrite, for possibly directing it. And it's super low budget. So
yes,
with our team of people that we know, I believe we can get that movie made, financed and made.
Right.
So now the next step is, and I said that to Steve, and now the next step is he's got to read the script and
the ball's in his court.
Yeah.
Yes.
Much like anything in this town, it will probably go nowhere.
But you tried.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing too is being able to recognize an opportunity. You know, much like you did with this event thing, mm-hmm. recognize the opportunity and be able to move on it,
right.
and say, this is the thing, and this is what I want,
right.
And I think I can do this, and then have people come back to you and say, you are correct, let's do this. And then, you know, I think people think it's so easy to just fucking sell a script in this town. I mean,
I know, that's...
It's ridiculous.
I'm always amazed at the stupid ones that get through, and then the gems that are
you
lost.
You have to convince so many
I know.
People.
It's like
to
literally
believe in you.
The stars have to align, Mars and Jupiter, and literally it's, and then anybody is going to get in.
Right.
Whether it's a stupid script or a good script, you're getting in. It really a lot of it does not make sense to me. So
yeah,
it is very difficult.
You definitely have to have thick skin in this town, and you have to stay positive, and you have to brush it off. If Steve reads the script and he thinks it's a piece of shit and he doesn't believe in it, all right,
there
moving
you go.
On. Moving on to the next one then.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll think that, but...
No.
You know...
You know what? Do you think it's his genre, though?
He was really supportive of the idea.
Oh, okay.
He knew what he was getting into.
Okay.
Yeah. And I told him that when I talked to him on the phone while I was reading it, that I was on page 30, and I told him I'm reading this right now, and he goes, how is it? Because I think that's kind of something that I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, it's good. It's got problems,
right.
But it's good.
Yeah.
Let me finish it. And then when I finish it, I took it to the next level.
So we need to remember to update next week on that,
yeah.
To see if we were predicted right or is something happening with that. Well, actually, if something's happening, we'll know.
I would hope so, yeah. Well, and much like things that are going on in this industry, it's not like he doesn't have the rights to the script. He doesn't own the script. It was just script that was
given
to him. So, I mean, while we're sitting here having a great conversation about how I think I can get this movie made, there's probably seven steps before we can say that. There's like seven other people that are reading the script this weekend saying the same thing.
Or not. Still, there's seven more steps about the script. So, yeah.
So, yes, it is fun times.
Exciting.
Yeah. A lot of things going on. I think that's pretty much it.
Which is probably good because the bird is going crazy.
So. Yes, we have to take care of the birds. All right, well, let's call it a week, and we will check back next week. Next week we'll have the Oscars to talk about, so we'll do our Oscar show.
Yeah. And updates and
yeah,
that'll be lengthy
and stuff like that. But all right, people. So I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Put some cheese on that cracker.
Peace out.
I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
What up, Oprah?
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
what you see, bro?
I see my name in shiny lights.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What up?
A different city every night. A billionaire, uh-huh. So fucking bad.